Hello, everybody. Well, this is a discussion of microeconomics, exam number 3, given spring of 2007. This exam had a total of 50 points. Of that 50, about 17 points were pretty easy questions that every student should be able to answer. About 21 points were harder questions that maybe you needed to be a pretty strong student to answer, and then about 12 points were quite difficult questions, even challenging for the best students. But the a student should have been able to get 19 or 20 points, but if you got as many as 19 or 20 points on this exam, you were doing pretty well. All right. We'll go through, there are two versions of this test, and I will, the versions are identical in the order of the questions, but the answers are given in a different order. This discussion, I'll state the answer in words rather than the letter value, so that the discussion applies to any version. All right, question one. The additional cost of producing one more unit of output is called, and the correct answer is marginal cost. Please do learn the key terms at the end of all the assigned chapters, but the concept of marginal cost is fundamental, and everybody should get that question right. All right, question two. Variable costs, and the correct answer is, are the only costs that exist in the long run. Okay, the answer, the discussion of variable costs occurs in two places, page 221, and then pages 264 to 265. The main idea is that in the long run, all costs can be varied. A firm can completely eliminate all of its expenses and go out of business. So all costs are variable. But in the short run, if you shut down, certain costs continue. Those are the fixed costs. So in the short run, costs are divided into two categories, those which can be varied and those which are fixed. You need to review that idea. The concept of variable costs is very important. In lecture, I pointed out to you, by the way, a useful fact, which is that in the long run, all costs are variable. Therefore, the long run average cost curve is also the long run average variable cost curve. But in the short run curves, the short run average cost curve is different from the short-run average variable cost curve because some of the costs are fixed. Question two, the other answers that are wrong. Variable costs are the only costs that exist in the short run. That's incorrect. Fixed costs also exist in the short run. Variable costs do not exist in the short run. That is incorrect. In the short run, there are always some costs which will go up or go down if you increase or decrease production. Variable costs do not exist in the long run. Well, that is exactly backward. In the long run, all costs are variable costs. They do exist in the long run. On to question three. Question three says, if marginal cost equals average variable cost, then, and the correct answer is AVC is at its low point. The best discussion of this in the book is pages 225 to 228, especially the diagram on page 226, which is figure 9-4. Also, we discussed this at length in lecture. In lecture, I pointed out to you that the marginal cost curve pulls the average cost curves down when it's lower than, and when it's above, it pulls the average cost curve up. Review your lecture notes to get those details. Question 4. Question 4 refers to the diagram, and in the diagram there are 4 curves, and the correct answer is the answer which has Roman numeral 2. The question says the average variable cost curve, AVC curve, is labeled, and the correct answer is 2, Roman numeral 2. Now, for a discussion of the curves 2, 3, and 4 in this diagram, go to pages 225 through 228 in the text. For a discussion of curve Roman numeral 1, which is the average fixed cost curve, go to pages 221 to 223. We also did an analysis in lecture, so you can review your lecture notes on the theory of the firm. And you'll remember that we showed you how curves 2 and 3, curve 2 is the average variable cost curve, and curve 3 is the total average cost curve, that those curves get closer and closer together to the right of Q star and become farther and farther apart to the left of Q star. You can review your notes to get the details. This material would be important for the final exam. All right, next comes question 5. Question 5 was an easy question. Price discrimination intended to lessen competition was declared illegal by, and the answer is, the Clayton Antitrust Act. I put this question on there just to remind you that you need to master Chapter 15 for the final exam. I didn't give a big penalty on this exam for not getting that right, but for chapter 15 is a discussion of antitrust policy, and it's very important. The correct answer is Clayton Antitrust Act. Now, question 6. Choose the best answer, the Wealth of Nations, and the correct answer is, was published in 1776 and was written by the moral philosopher Adam Smith and was the first book attempting to describe the fundamental principles of economics. I need my students to know who Adam Smith was and when he published his economics text. Adam Smith is an important figure. He is mentioned in the text on page 10, 20, 31, 39, 47 to 48, 75, 87, and 472. All right, next is question 7. A highly competitive market consisting of many firms selling differentiated products is, and what is it called? It's called monopolistically competitive. We did not discuss monopolistically competitive markets in lecture very much, but that doesn't mean that they're not important. In fact, probably more markets which you and I face are monopolistically competitive than of any other form. So it's a very important type of market. Take a look at pages 300 through 305 to learn about monopolistically competitive markets. You can be sure that something on them will occur on the next test. All right, question 8. Refer to the graph above of a monopolistic competitor. The average total cost curve is represented by curve, and the correct answer is by the curve which is labeled D. Again, I refer you to pages 300 through 306 on monopolistic competition. This is very important, but a quick review here. that basically, to me, I think of monopolistic competition as competition with warts. What we have is firms which are competing, but one of the tricks you use to make your product more attractive is you spend money to invent a feature which makes your product different than the other products that are being sold. And you spend money to make your product different or make it appear different. And so, for example, Winston tastes good like a cigarette should is advertising intended to make your product seem different from other cigarettes. At any rate, perfect competition has elements of monopoly because if you create a feature, then you are that people perceive to be valuable, you will be able to charge a higher price for it than your competitors. But on the other hand, you have to spend a lot of money to create these features. And those expenditures drive away the profits. So therefore, monopolistic competition tends not to be any more profitable than pure competition. A normal rate of return without any economic profit is the long-run expectation. Of course, maybe you can come up with an invention that makes your product different and patent that invention. If so, then you might be able to make your little monopoly last longer. All right, next comes question 9. Economic models provide a prediction of a unique price and quantity in all of the following market structures except, and the correct answer is oligopoly. Oligopoly is the sort of the problem child in market analysis. Economists are not very good at figuring out just whether they're going to behave like monopolists or behave like competitors. And you can get a sense of that by reading this section on oligopoly, which is pages 306 to 316, 10 pages. And when you're finished with those pages, you still won't know whether the oligopolists are going to charge a monopolistic price or whether they're going to behave like competitors and charge a competitive price. Next comes question 10. To prevent price wars and enhance profits, firms in an oligopolistic market may, and the answer, correct answer is, cooperate with each other by fixing profits, by fixing prices. The other choices are not as good. Firms in an oligopolistic market may establish a contestable market. No, they want to do the opposite of that. They don't want to contest. They want to do the opposite. Oligopolistic, will they accept the price in the marketplace? Well, they hope not to. They hope that they're going to be able to arrange cooperation and with their competitors, at least implicit or tacit cooperation, and be able to charge a monopolistic price. And do oligopolistic firms encourage foreign competition? No, they want to restrict competition, if anything. So everything else, all these answers are inferior to the one, to the correct one. That should have been an easy question. The page references, again, are page 306 to 316. Next comes question 11, which I consider to be quite a hard question. If the supply curve is vertical, the burden of a tax on suppliers is borne by who? All right. The idea here is you draw a vertical supply curve, and then you draw a normal downward sloping demand curve. And in lecture, I showed you that who sends in the money from a tax is not important. What's important is the relative elasticity is the steepness of the two curves. What we have is that the supply curve is very steep, the demand curve is not. you can now hang the tax on the demand curve the way I showed you in lecture. You need to review your lecture notes. And if so, you can see from the diagram that the burden of the tax is going to fall on the sellers, not the buyers. And therefore, the correct answer is the burden of a tax on suppliers will be borne entirely by the suppliers. Now, this idea of a tax on suppliers, that's what that means is the suppliers are sending in the money, and you had to make a guess at that. But there's not much else that there's not another meaning that you could really give to it. Now, it is conceivable that you might think that one of the other answers is correct, but this other answer is not as good as the one which is the correct answer. You might consider the answer that if the supply curve is vertical, the burden of a tax on suppliers is borne mostly by the suppliers and partly by the consumers if the demand curve is inelastic. See, there the idea would be, well, you'll make the supply curve is vertical and you'll make the demand curve vertical also. Well, if you do that, then who bears the burden of the tax? And the answer is there's no way to tell. Right? And so you can't really say for sure that the tax will be borne mostly by suppliers and partly by consumers. It may be the other way around, partly by consumers and mostly by suppliers, or partly by suppliers and mostly by consumers, or all by one and not by, who knows? So therefore, D is an inferior answer to the other one. But if you were going to select D instead of B, you needed to come up to me and discuss it with me during lecture to point out that there was a difficulty. And if so, I would have told you to pretend that the demand curve being inelastic means downward sloping, but very steep, but still not vertical. So I would have steered you toward the other answer, because the other answer is preferable. All right. Question 12. Select the best answer. The fundamental theorem of welfare economics tells us roughly, and the correct answer is, that an economic system with many buyers and many sellers in all markets will be maximally efficient. This does not this information does not exist in the text. It was discussed in lecture. The point of the fundamental theorem, though, is that there are reasons why economists are attracted to markets in which there are many sellers and many buyers. In other words, competitive markets. And if you have competition in all markets, if all markets are competitive markets, then it is possible to have economic efficiency. And what that implies is that there is no other economic system that can produce more goods. If your goal is to produce as much as possible, no other economic system can do better. It may be possible to do just as well, but not possible to do better. That's an important idea. And now we'll call a halt, and you can go to the next lecture to hear the answers to the questions 13 through 26.